Thanks for tuning in to the Glossy Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Manoff, and today I sit down with Justin Saul, co-owner and creative director of Elwood Clothing, the LA-based street and loungewear brand with fans including Justin Bieber. Elwood has had three lives, first launching in 1996 with a focus on skate culture before relaunching in 2008 with denim and relaunching again 12 years later. 2020 marked the acquisition of the brand by Justin and his business partner, Jackson Wirt, who together decided to overhaul everything but the name. I wanted to ask Justin about the decision to buy into an existing brand versus start from scratch. I also wanted to learn what's fueling Elwood's current growth, with sales increasing 165% in the last 12 months. Welcome, Justin. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I mean, you have a rich history with this brand, but tell me what your background was before acquiring this brand. Like, you were in fashion?
Yeah. I went to school to play soccer, to be honest. And I was always like kind of dressing differently than others and kind of expressed myself through my clothing. So when I left school, I begged my friend's dad to give me a job in somewhat of the fashion space because I thought that's like where I wanted to be. And then over those like couple years, I slowly like understood like the garment manufacturing process of for like JCPenney, Target, Walmart, Kohl's, all of these people, predominantly in ladies' wear, until I like kind of was like, I think we could sell this product at Walmart, just like men's, young men's clothing. This is precursor to Elwood. And so I started going down to Bentonville, Arkansas and showing them young men's product. And they didn't want anything for the first like year and a half I went down there. And then all of a sudden they wanted to test, and they tested a short sleeve hoodie, which some of you listening may know what that is, some may not, but it was a very like streetwear thing, I don't know, 6 years ago. And we did it and we gave it to them. And then that business like tremendously grew overnight. And then I was like, well, shit, I need to be more creative and want to be more creative with what I want to put out into the world. And that's kind of where the thought of, yeah, do you start a business? Do you buy an existing business? And that's kind of where Elwood came. So I almost learned the manufacturing side of things, which I think is a blessing for me, before the whole like creative and brand side.
Oh my gosh. Pause for one moment. So this was a Walmart exclusive brand, and you came to them with a deck. Like, how did this come together?
No. Elwood has nothing to do with
Walmart. No. But like with your former life. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, they didn't have a young men's brand. They didn't have young men's products. So kind of just went there with clothing and said, I don't know where you guys can put this, but you probably need it. There's like a little more story. I went to school and a lot of my friends would go buy beer and toilet paper and everything from Walmart. And then I kind of like always asked them like, hey, would you like buy this product if it was like at Walmart for a great price? And each and every one of them said, yeah, absolutely. So that was kind of like my first like thought of, there's probably like a big opportunity. Walmart has about 120 to 150 million people that walk into their stores a week. So that's honestly, it was that, and just kind of kept going down there for.
Nice. What a visionary. Because look at Walmart now. And then the idea of like democratizing cool clothes. It's very Kanye West of you when he was cool. Anyway. Amazing. How did you meet Jackson? What was the idea that you guys are going to come together? You're going to be the creative side. He's going to be the business side.
I've actually known Jackson since I was like 4 or 5. So we've grown up together. We've been best friends. And then the whole like creative and financial side, it just kind of played itself that way, you know? And that's kind of just like what's worked. And yeah, yeah, it just like kind of played its way into that position.
Great. And you guys just decided, what was going on in 2020? The brand existed. It was flailing. It had it died down, and had you worn the brand prior to, like, you were already a fan?
Yeah. I don't know if like a fan was it. It was more of like the name and the circumstances that we were able to acquire the business. It was, if you may, failing. It just had gone through so many ups and downs and was never given the love a brand desperately needs and the attention. So yeah, it was, do you start a new brand or do you kind of just like take over an existing thing with some sort of foundation and platform? And the big thing was my vision of like, this is what it should be. This is what will work if we can execute the three pillars I kind of always talk about with like product, price, and content.
Yeah.
And if we were able to do it, I believe that we could be where we're at today and growing. So that's kind of the Elwood why we chose to do it. There's no rhyme or reason. It was just a good price and it made sense. And the brand was somewhat something, I guess. Better to start there, maybe than from scratch.
Yes. Did it have a great built-in social community already?
No, not really. There was some sort of foundation to it, but the engagement was just like horrible. They had like, I don't know, 20,000 followers on Instagram, but they engaged, like no one was engaging with any posts. And it was interesting because it used to be like discounted and price pointed in completely different product than what we're doing today. But that was the only way it was really able to like generate sales, the e-commerce store. So that was like a huge push of mine when we first took over of like, there will be no sales on this brand until Black Friday potentially. And that's kind of still what we stand strong to today. But our price points, you know, it's not that they're sale price points, but they're very sexy for those that, you know, don't want to spend crazy amounts of money on good quality products. So
what are we talking here? How much is a pair of
like a hoodie is like 75, a crew neck 65, sweatpants are 65. So we're in the middle. We're in this like little nice white space that allows us to like be and put out the content that we want in the overall look and aesthetic, but then also aren't charging $180 for a hoodie or $25 for a hoodie. So
nice.
It's a nice little like white space we've found.
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking COVID, baby, but 2020, this is the type of apparel that's resonating. It's like elevated loungewear, casual wear. You may wear it home or not. Like, was this the idea? Were you birthed after March?
Yeah. We were in talks of acquiring the business at the beginning, like before COVID.
Oh, interesting.
And then, so in January or something, and then Kobe Bryant died, and then I was like a mess. And then like really quickly, it was like, oh shit. Yeah, you're not going to work. You have to like stay home because like, there's this virus, right? And like I don't know, I think I would just like call my business partner, because Jackson is very much like I'm the person that like go, and he's like, all right, well, let's like think about it for a second, you know. And I was like, yeah, let's still do it. And he's like, well, what happens? I just remember distinctly, he's like, what happens if like FedEx closes and we can't ship out our packages and stuff?
Good point,
and
Jackson.
I was like, fuck yeah, I don't even like know. So then we like deliberated and I was like, I think we just need to do it. And like, I was itching for it. Like I needed to like put my mind out into the world, just away from not just the Walmart stuff, you know? And so then we did it, and I think we ended up buying it in like April. So like a month after like it shut down. And then honestly, from the first drop, it just like worked, you know? So that was cool.
That's very cool. So would you say the go-to-market plan, marketing on digital, maybe through Meta, like what was working to get the word out?
Just digital at the moment, like content, product, Instagram, TikTok, that stuff. But no like meta stuff at the beginning. It was very like word of mouth and just like, hey, we have this, you guys should try it, essentially. And units weren't big at the beginning. It was small. We were selling out and it was great. And it was like, wow, there's like appetite for all of this. And then slowly but surely, it was like, okay, what do we got to do to like actually like run this business and do it? And obviously the hiring people, and then the Instagram ads came probably a year and a half down the road, almost 2 years down the road. And but I believe a big part of our success is like the content that we put out that is like very democratic and like relatable to like what someone wants to wear, but then also is a bit like higher end and a little like, oh, what is that? So I think I always talk about like a hybrid business model in like every facet of our business. And that's kind of like how I want like everything to run of like, it's not super cool, but it's not like lame, and it's not crazy expensive, but it's not very cheap. And we're going to grow with digital ads, but we're also going to grow with like brand and content and brand awareness and cool events and whatever that is. So it's all this. It's just this hybrid model that's kind of worked for us.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, your content was striking to me, especially your YouTube videos. Like, they're very well done. And you hear that like raw is what's resonating and real. And I don't know, throw your phone up and capture something. Like, what's your approach? And is all this content being made in-house?
Yeah. So I believe in like authenticity. More or less all of us, like, if you can find your true authenticity from your core, like you're probably going to be able to do what you want better and more free because you're truly being authentic to yourself. So I think what we put out is truly authentic to who we are, myself and our brand. And I believe like consumerism, like, I believe those that are wanting to buy styles like this and product like this and be a part of a family and a brand that we've created, I don't think they want to go to the big boxes anymore or the big retail stores. They want to resonate with someone that's like being authentic. So I guess that's like a little like away from like the raw aspect of content, but that's my like stance on authenticity of like, I believe it's just the beginning of all consumers are going to want to do is buy from someone or something that they can actually feel a part of and feel understood and heard. That resonates into like the whole raw side of stuff. Yeah, some of it is like, yeah, let's just go on TikTok and do it that way. Some of it is very more editorial with our photographer. Again, like I'll go back to like the hybrid word. It's this hybrid that's working for us.
Yeah. Who is your customer, would you say? Like, it's no longer maybe the skater, or is it? I don't know.
Yeah, no. No, yeah, the skater. I'm sure there's kids that wear Elwood that skate. I think it's just this, like, I don't know. You know, it's interesting. Elwood is, like, rapidly growing. When we first took over the brand, the Instagram and our consumer was probably 80-20 male to female. It's almost 50-50 now. So I think like an age group is like 18 to like 34. If you may, like, that's our biggest age group, yeah, essentially. But then my mom and dad are wearing it all the time. Older gentlemen and women are always asking like, hey, can we like get a hoodie? Can we do that? So it depends on like what styles we're really talking about on the website. But
yeah.
You know, so I don't know. We're just dropping kids on Friday. We had dropped it once. Now we're relaunching it. And like, it did amazing for us. So it's those like, take me down, mommy and me, daddy and me kind of look. So I always say I would love to be the unisex, and like an aspirational brand would be like Aritzia, and like a unisex Aritzia. And yeah, just like cater to moms, dads, and
cool, yeah, kids.
Kids. Yeah.
Yeah. The kids stuff looks great. So
yeah,
cute.
The kids stuff is cute. Yeah. It's that like cute factor.
Yeah. I was gonna ask about the men's versus women's, how you go about sizing, because I was like, I didn't even know it was women's as well. And then I'm seeing these cool girls on your site, and it's things are baggy, but that's the style. Like, yeah, how do you go about it?
Yeah, you kind of leave it a little more baggy because that's what the gals are kind of coming for sure, from us. There are like certain styles like in our woven bottom. So if it's denim or twill pant or canvas pant or a wool pant, we are starting to like work with a women's fit, a fit person, because I want the women to come to us and be able to get that baggy look, but also still like fit their waist. So that's probably like the toughest part. But I'm learning that I love women's aesthetic and I love women's clothing anyways. So it's kind of been fun to me to learn that process. But everything from like our core line and French terries and fleece, it's very much just like, yeah, you're buying it, you're going to buy it big. And yeah, that's kind of the look anyways.
Yes. Your customers also some celebrity folks. Are you gifting? How are they getting access to the product?
Yeah, you know, most of like the celebrity people are gifting or stylists or through friends for sure. And then there's some that are popping off right now that they're just buying it, which that to me, that's the coolest thing, you know? It's just like, how did she get that? We didn't gift it to her. And then you go look it up and she bought it. So I think that's super rad. And I think the product speaks for itself once you actually like get a piece or see a piece, you know.
Anybody really moving the needle in terms of a celebrity that's worn the brand?
You know, everyone always asks me that, and there's always like a good question of like, how do you judge brand growth? Not like overall growth of revenue and digital ads and that side of it. Like, how do you judge like brand? And It's these people and like who's walking on the street and the billboard we have and who's talking about it. So I think from like a brand awareness perspective, they're moving the needle. From like, oh my God, this person posted it and we saw crazy sales. Like, no, we haven't really seen any of that. But that comes from like the consistency. We would need someone at the higher caliber to like constantly be posting about it. To like really resonate with their like followers and customers, but
for sure. Well, to acquire the brand, and I know you have a store, which is an investment. Have you guys done fundraising? Did you just have some great savings from past lives? What's happening?
No. Yeah. Me and Jackson just put in like a little bit of money. Like, we've never raised money or anything like that. It's very much just been from like kind of day one. It's been this, and we've just been blessed the way we've been able to run it from the get-go. It's just kind of been profitable since the get-go, and coming into year four and a half, it's just very much self-sufficient. Yeah.
Right on. Am I right that your store opened in May of 2023? And I have to tell you, I'm reading about it and I'm like, this is the coolest effing store. It's in the former punk club where David Bowie, Guns N' Roses, and Nirvana performed in the 80s. What? Okay, tell me about this store, this space. What was the approach to getting it right?
It's funny. To be like completely honest, like the, like, need to word this in the right way, but like I'm not like super fond of the store, to be honest. It was very much like a thing that was thrown on my plate and we did it, and it's just not up to my standards. That said, it's a great place for like people to like go and try the product on, but it's more of like a showroom than a store.
Yeah.
So I think like a store opening one day is in our cards and we're really stoked about it. But like, I want it to be like perfect kind of thing. It's just tough. Like the space that we're in, it is like cool history and all that, but there's not even enough space to like put back stock of product a lot of times. So our attention to it as we've grown so rapidly hasn't been like what I want it to be. So to be honest, like the store is whatever, like it's great to go try it on and whatever, but half the time we don't even have stock, so it's like a bigger thing.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge, but I love it. It's great. I know exactly like how it will work if we do it correctly, and where it should go, but it's just like a focus, you know. That's the big thing of who's gonna focus on certain things and not getting ahead of ourselves.
We're gonna take a quick break. Stay with us. Tell me about running a fashion business in LA. Like, we hear a lot about the denim industry and how that, you know, has had its ups and downs, but like that was thriving. Like, would it benefit you more to be in New York, or does this, you have better access to manufacturers here, or what's the pros and cons?
I think the pros are, from New York and LA, I view them probably pretty much the same, is you have this vast talent pool that you can choose from, right? Like, a goal of mine would be to have an office in Wyoming with like horses and chill and like,
nice.
But you're not going to get like all of that talent out there, yep. Essentially, you know? LA's home to me. I grew up in Malibu. So like, that's why this just makes sense for me. And like manufacturing and all of that, that's kind of like all of my overseas partners. So potentially could do it from anywhere with those people. We don't do the domestic production that a lot of LA brands do. That's why we're able to be at the price points that we're at. And that's kind of like a white space that we have found. Like a bunch of people come to me on a daily basis. Can you help me do this? Can you help me do this? And some of them are huge influencers or have like decently sized brands, but they still, like I said, kind of backtracking to my first comments, like I learned the manufacturing side before all of this.
Yes.
Other cool design stuff, I guess. Yeah.
So important. Well, tell me about, I'm geeking out over the cool vintage on your website. Like, is that part of like, is it almost like a storytelling tool? Like, we're vintage inspired. Like, is that drive a significant portion of sales?
Yeah, not sales. Definitely what we talked about is brand, right? Like, that is our way where it's almost like paid brand for us. Like, we still make some money on the vintage, but it's not like we're like making crazy amounts of revenue. It's, you can only find 150 to 300 shirts that you like love that you want to put on the website at that month. So it's for brand. It's storytelling. All of our core garments were all based off of some of our favorite vintage pieces in our closets from like the beginning. So I feel like vintage inspired, it's part of brand. And there's nothing better than like receiving or finding like a very good worn in fitting vintage piece, like if it's a t-shirt or a pant or a jacket, whatever it may be. So yeah, it's very much for storytelling and brand.
That makes good sense. Well, you are a manufacturing expert. Are you doing seasonal collections? Is it more about drops? What's working?
Yeah, it's the consistency of all of it. Again, like what has worked for us is like putting content in our consumers' faces very consistently and allowing them to choose and have an array of product that they can buy. We have core, which should be, the goal is to have it on our website at all times. Those are our daily sales. That's what everyone's coming for at the beginning. It's funny. I call it like our gateway drug, essentially, into the brand. So that, and then we have seasonal core, which is like new colors every other month or every 2 months. And then we have these like fashion capsules where I can really get my creativity out and like create the baggy pant that I really want in my closet in those colors. So there's like three pillars to our business, leading with core and seasonal core. And then all of these other fashion pieces, like, it's honestly just for fun and also like brand, like that's more brand awareness. I don't want to be tied down ever as, oh, we make sweatpants and hoodies. Like that's the least of it, because Elwood is way more than that. And I'm way more than that. So that's the importance of giving that side of it as well, with knowing core is always going to be the foundation of the business, which I'm fine with, but it just needs to be more than that.
That takes a lot of the brand story that you're telling. Like, you need ownership, you need to control that a bit. When it comes to like working with wholesale retail partners, I think Nordstrom is one. Like, do they need to buy into the full beyond core, or like is that a challenge to maintain that brand you want to put out there?
No, almost the complete opposite.
Oh, great.
And we're blessed for this at the moment, but we're like the number 3 selling brand for them in like the men's, young men's space at the moment.
Oh, great.
So they're actually just asking for kind of anything that they can get their hands on, and core selling amazing, but so is fashion. So we're very blessed to have that success in Nordstrom. So no, kind of opposite. They're down to kind of do whatever we want. Yeah.
Nordstrom's huge. So is that making up half the business now? Like as a, no.
No, no. That's still a small part of our business, even though it's growing rapidly and it's great. It's millions of dollars, but it's not. Our direct-to-consumer is probably 90% of the business. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw.
Which.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's a, yeah. That's kind of how I always wanted it to be. Like be in Nordstrom and then let's like blow this thing up so everyone in the United States can buy it.
So smart. I saw online that you've got this, I like that it's called Country Club, but it's like a membership loyalty program. Tell me about that. Is that working to, working for retention, working for lifetime value, all the things?
Yeah, retention, lifetime value. It's just a way to give back. I struggle with like mental health and anxiety at times. And, you know, there's those times where you just want to feel a part of something and want to be heard and understood, even if like maybe someone doesn't really understand you or even know what you're talking about or what you're going through. Like sometimes there's just a safe space to be able to go to and feel like you're a part of it. So that's what we try and do in the Country Club, of just like giving like them this into Elwood that they feel a part of the team and or get the perks of being part of the Country Club. So yeah, the Country Club is so important to me and the brand, and there could be a lot more focus on it. I would love like there to be like a head of it. We have one guy that does it, but he also does other stuff. So that's definitely like a goal down the road of like how can we make them even feel more empowered and more part of our brand and just create a safe space for consumers. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you using your store for events to bring folks together?
No.
Not till you're proud of your store.
Yeah. No, we just did our first like real influencer dinner. We've never really done one before, so that was super fun.
Cool.
We have a really, really cool, I don't want to spoil it too much, but we do have a really cool event happening in Wyoming in September. So
great.
That will be like our first like big kind of push for some sort of brand moment. Yeah.
Potentially a collaboration. I won't make you tease it anyway.
Yeah. It's a collab and just an unbelievable, beautiful space that we feel that resonates with us and the brand at the moment. So yeah.
Fantastic. Besides the store, what else is challenging you now? Top of mind.
My time.
Yes.
it's not challenging. It's fun. I just got like my first assistant, which is funny saying, but very much needed, and she's been unbelievable in helping me be in certain places. So it's just time, you know. It's managing people and creating this environment that we've created at Elwood that my community at the office comes before work. It comes before like the output that my employees are doing. It comes before revenue. It comes before all of that. I need to have a safe place in a community, inside the office. So to be honest, my hardest job is like keeping that community that, and you know, we started at 2 employees. Now we have 15, 16, 17. So it's like a lot of different personalities and it starts with me. So, that's probably the challenge. I love it though. I love being that leader and helping those come together when they need and all of that. And our success is great because of what we've done, but it's the team. I would give 90% of it to like the team and what we've created for sure.
So great. Was there a hire that was really a difference maker, or is there a spot that you're really looking to fill to kind of take it to the next level? I think I saw online on LinkedIn that you've got a CMO, but like, I'm like, this is anyway, who's in, go ahead.
Yeah. Like, we do have a CMO who's unbelievable. She just got promoted to a CMO. We don't even really do titles either. Like I don't even know. I think when me and Jackson first went to the bank, I asked to be the secretary when we had to like type stuff. So there's been some great key hires. I think everyone's important, right? But I think those that have come in at the higher positions have really been able to help understand the foundation that I've built and then them be able to grow on top of that and train those under them and teach. So I think like everyone plays their part, but yes, there are those that have been able to like take the vision and the platform that we created and really take it to the next level for sure.
Right on. Oh, this.
I can't single out anyone because everyone's unbelievable.
I love that.
But there are superstars and yeah, yeah.
Last question. What's to come this year? You teased some things, but what are you excited about? What are the goals?
These brand moments I'm very, very excited for. A couple more fashion collections at the end of the year that are going to have a little bit more detail to them, not just in the product, but in all of it. So I'm very excited about that. And just like taking it and growing. And yeah, I don't know. I think those would be like the key parts to it, but just keeping our head down and keeping the office civil and in a great place to be able to grow another, I don't know, we're on track to do another 160%. So hopefully we can do that. Yeah.
Dang. Do you ever want to sell the business? Is that a goal? Is that the goal going in?
You know, I think it's always a goal for someone or something. I can speak for myself and like, that is not my number one goal of this business. I absolutely love walking into the office every single day and working with my team and creating what I love. I do other businesses and like maybe some of those are to want to sell. You know, Elwood is, it's a purpose of mine that I can like really express who I am through it just because it's completely derived from creating my ideal closet. So, yeah, I don't know. If you could tell me in years to come, I can kill it and still have Elwood and still be having fun doing it. I don't know what, I don't think I need to sell it at that point. It's just fun at, you know, I love it.
Well, I tell you what, Justin, these multiple businesses might explain the strain on your time these days.
Yeah. There's a lot, but I'm excited. I think I'm made for it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I absolutely love it. They're my babies.
This is the only fashion brand. Yeah.
No.
Oh my God. What are you doing? Is this a secret?
It is kind of, but the other one is more focused on like the ladies and home goods stuff too. So I'm very excited about that.
Cool.
And then I still do the Walmart business as well.
Right on. Yeah. Hands in many projects. Oh, good for you.
Yeah. It's fun. It's great. I love it.
Nice. Thank you, Justin, for being here. This was great.
Yeah. This is amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's all for this episode. Our theme music is by Otis McDonald. If you liked this episode, be sure to share it with someone else you think would. Thanks for listening to The Glossy Podcast.